What'll it be?
I was going to fill up with whatever's cheapest.
I'll be happy to take care of that for you.
I thought this was self-serve.
We're completely full service here at Empire State Gas. Sure, it may cost you a bit more, but you're worth it. Now, what else can I get you? Something from the snack shop for you and the little lady?
There is no little lady. I'm alone. And I just ate.
Well, how about a complimentary balloon animal for the kids?
I have no kids, and I'm still alone.
Well, don't feel bad. You may be alone, but you're wise enough to come to the largest independently owned gas station chain in the Northeast United States.
We're in Los Angeles.
I'm sure that you know that our gas is organically grown and good for the environment.
Good for the environment?
That's right. When you burn our fuel, you're actually helping to reverse climate change. That's why we say at Empire State Gas, from farm to pump, we've got great gas.
And now,
Silver Bells, Silver Bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling.
Chilpack Hollywood Hour with Dean Haglund and Phil Lernis.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
So, Dean Haglund.
Yes, Phil Lernis.
Welcome to your Chilpack Hollywood Hour.
I'm so excited to be here.
Well, you're technically you're not here. You're back in Australia.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah.
It's a hologram of you.
Yes, I'm excited to be a hologram.
A 4D hologram. Because in addition to your voice sounding bad again,
right,
after getting so much better
in the
intervening weeks, Lily's in the kitchen. Wafting fresh bread smell this way, which always makes me think of you.
Exactly.
All the baking you would do. Actually, you used to do a lot of baking.
Remember that?
During our shows. Yeah,
oh, yeah. There'd be fresh cookies and all that.
So this is a pre-recorded show.
Yes.
And it's one we've talked about for quite a while.
Yes.
Where we will be going on a field trip.
Hooray! Nothing like being on assignment.
Especially to a cemetery.
Yes.
I mean, because we've been dying to do that show.
This is going to be extended celebrity deaths.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That actually really would be great. Oh, my God. There are thousands of podcasts just waiting for us in the Forest Lawn Cemetery. Oh, my goodness. Dead people. It's funny.
That's funny.
So, but I wanted to begin,
yes,
by sharing with you that at LACMA, just before it closed, this is the Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
Yeah.
Not that the Museum of Art is closed. It's still very much an ongoing concern.
But they're going to do an extensive renovation.
Yes, and it's going to be a terrible, terrible renovation if they're following their design construct.
Uh-oh.
Enclosing Wilshire Boulevard and making it be a part of the Crafts Museum and building over it. And then Wilshire's an underpass. It's just horrible. It's just horrible. LACMA had just become such a fun place to hang out.
Right.
So let's rip that from the people. Anyway, the point is, speaking of something that should have been fun and wasn't, I went to the Guillermo del Toro exhibit.
Oh, yes.
Now, I had low expectations for this.
Right.
This is following on the heels of such great movie exhibits as Stanley Kubrick. So I had very low expectations for this, and they didn't quite live up to that. But if you ever wanted to know what it would be like to walk through a garage sale for a wounded man-child, this was it.
Wow.
But there was some interesting stuff. Don't get me wrong. It's just, and I, you know, it's a lot of his collection of art and books and
action figures,
comic books and action figures and all of this sort of stuff. And at sometimes it's really interesting. But there's even photos of his home, Bleak House, up by Paramount Ranch Agoura Hills. Stop by. Tell them Dean and Phil sent you. It's just so cluttered and claustrophobic looking, much like the exhibit itself.
Right.
And there's nothing about it that feels really creatively freeing. I can understand the inspiration and the comfort that he derives from it, but there's no sense that you could ever break out of that, nor... with his film, since Pan's Labyrinth, is there any sense that he's breaking out into new ground?
Good point.
But one thing that it occurred to me in going through this exhibit is he would really like some of your artwork.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, you there were certain times I would go, well, this is a piece that Dean would have, and then other times... oh, you know what would be a lot better than this is the painting that Dean did.
Wow.
So we ought to let...
somebody
I was
going
to say we ought to let Del Toro listen to this so he knows about your art, but probably not.
Right. There's got to be another way.
Yeah. Well, I loved the exhibit. It was a view into the mind of a genius.
So, well, I'm working on...
It was horrible how they laid this. I mean,
it's in the Resnick Gallery, too?
Where they did the Kubrick exhibit, which was so brilliantly laid out. And anyway, there was no flow to this at all. But anyway, so I wanted to ask you about your artwork, because you've been doing a lot. You've filled all these sketchbooks. What is going on? What have you been doing? What are you going to be doing? How can people see your artwork?
Well, you go to deanhagland.com, and there'll be not only a lot of my artwork, a lot of pet portraits happening down on Australia loves my pet portraiture, so I'm painting a lot of that. And I could do it globally. So anybody who wants their pet painted, please check out deanhagland.com.
You also have a book.
Yes. My book, The Broadway Walking Tour, the illustrated my basic tour that I used to be able to give all the time when I was here in Los Angeles, is now in book form, and where I sketched every one of the highlights and painted them. Those are in book form. You can get that at deanhagland.com. And on top of that, follow me on Instagram, see all my latest artwork. I'll be putting out little PDF books of my daily sketches.
Cool.
When I walk with my dog and we sit down at a cafe and I paint the building across the street in Newtown, New South Wales, Australia. That will be coming out also in the next 4 weeks from now.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, now, were you talking about... is there going to be an exhibit of LA?
Yes. Okay. So from that book, there's talk that in July at the Fine Arts Building in downtown Los Angeles, I will have my art exhibit, all the newest work, or not the newest work, all the work from the book up in its original form.
I don't know what your New Year's resolutions for last year were. We're going to be revisiting these in just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were, but I am going on record right now as saying is whatever your art-related resolutions were for the new year, you should be given a check mark for them. Whatever they were.
Whether they
fit it specifically.
Exactly.
Because you've been doing so much.
Yeah, it's been great.
And now if I can bring the room down just
please.
A minute. What about the graphic novel?
Here's the good news on that. You know, the hardest thing has been the workflow. How do you situate your digital format to laying it out to working with Photoshop and all that sort of thing? Well, it turns out that in a Kickstarter, they make a lovely thing where you can draw on paper with a pencil, and by having an electronic ring around that pencil will automatically digitize the same thing. For me, the longest problem has been that lag when you try drawing the tablet and the screen lag that has always confused my brain-mind spatial relation. So now I can just draw regular pencil drawings on a piece of paper that's on a special pad that then triangulates all of those positions of your pencil and makes a digital copy as you're drawing it in real time, at which point you can go into Photoshop, shade it, add the lettering, format it, lay it out. So I just got that last week, and now I will be able to get this graphic novel out within
months.
Now,
you said that's on Kickstarter.
But it was... It was already a thing, but often people do Kickstarters now as a way just to promote a new item. So it was already manufactured, but they just launched a Kickstarter so you could get it for, you know, $20 off than what it is in retail stores now.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you. So it's an app.
It's a whole, not just an app, it's a like a tablet.
A technology.
It's a technology. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a technology that you could get, I see, on Kickstarter. I thought it was part of the Kickstarter apparatus.
Oh, no.
To set up projects and things, and you had figured out, oh, I can steal that application and put it over here. I see. So somebody actually put this device on Kickstarter.
Yeah, gotcha. It's Iskin or whatever.
Nice.
And so this will make the graphic novel appear this year.
No, it's still 2016.
Next year.
A much better year. 2017. Let's face it, there's going to be so many fireworks in 2017. 2017 is going to be a great year. I'm serious. I mean, just if I can talk about me for a minute.
Let's talk about you.
You know, I turned 48 recently. I was 38. I was 37 when we started the show. I was 38 when we started the show. Okay. And that's the thing is that I've gone back every 8 year just kills for me, going all the way back to 8.
Oh, right.
At the 8 year, the 7 years, you know, 77, 87, yeah. I don't, and on, are just great. So there's going to be so many fireworks, so many changes, so many graphic novels. Now, we are going to spend, as we said, the bulk of this episode enjoying Forest Lawn Cemetery. Memorial Cemetery. Aww. And really enjoying it because that's what it was designed for. And I'm not even joking about that. So Forest Lawn Glendale was founded in 1906.
Right.
As a not-for-profit cemetery.
Okay.
By a group of businessmen from San Francisco. Why a group of businessmen would set up a not-for-profit, I don't understand. But Dr. Hubert Eaton entered into a sales contract with the cemetery in 1912. He took over the management of it in 1917.
Okay.
And although he did not start it, he is credited as being the founder of Forest Lawn Memorial Park. There's six of them throughout Southern California, but this is the original one. They all share the same ethos. I think he refers to himself throughout the place as the builder in third person. Yeah.
Isn't that from The Matrix?
You'll see this. but he wanted this to be an amusement park. And indeed, in its heyday, there would be actual amusements in there, and there would be performances. And
what?
It is a big moneymaker. I mean, this park, in its heyday, which was written about by Evelyn Waugh in her 1948 satirical novel about the death biz, the loved one,
right,
where Hubert Eaton's the central character of it. It was made into a movie in the 1960s starring Jonathan Winters and Rod Steiger, which bears very little resemblance to the Evelyn Waugh novel. Terry Southern had just come off Dr. Strangelove and wrote it. But the novel itself is pretty insightful. But it's a huge influence on, among other people, Walt Disney.
Right.
And whose grave site we will visit.
Oh.
Because people leave messages for Walt there.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we can find some. But so it's unlike any other cemetery I've ever been in for this. Among other things, his plan involved eliminating all upright grave markers because that disturbs the view.
Oh, right.
Bringing in works by established artists. There is so much art and statuary in the cemetery.
Okay.
It was the first to ever open a funeral home on dedicated cemetery grounds.
Oh. That's a good idea.
He was a firm believer, Eaton, the builder, in a joyous life after death.
Ah.
He was convinced that most cemeteries were unsightly, depressing stone yards. Now, we might say that's what we like about them,
but
he created what would reflect his optimistic Christian belief as unlike other cemeteries, as sunshine is unlike darkness. Those are his words. He envisioned Forest Lawn to be, quote, a great park devoid of misshapen monuments and other signs of earthly death, but filled with towering trees, sweeping lawns, splashing fountains, beautiful statuary, and memorial architecture.
I like this.
A number of plaques which state Eaton's intentions are signed. The Builder.
Yeah.
And it's kind of stayed in the Eaton family. And boy, the tributes to him become ever more overbearing through the years.
Fantastic.
Most of the burial sections we will visit have evocative names, including Eventide, Babyland.
Good Lord.
For infants. Yeah. And the whole graveyard is shaped like a heart.
Oh.
Graceland, I guess, for Elvis impersonators. I don't know.
There's a lot of them.
We'll find out. There are enough. Inspiration Slope, Slumberland for children and adolescents, Sweet Memories, Whispering Pines, Vesperland, Borderland on the edge of the cemetery, and Dawn of Tomorrow. I don't know.
That's the zombies returning.
There are historic building recreations of historic buildings that no longer exist in the world.
Wow.
That only the recreations exist. Recreations of great art, an amazing mountaintop theater that was built to be the one place other than the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles big enough to display a painting they recovered and restored about the crucifixion. The Stations of the Cross are represented in art at the the Forest Lawn. We will be visiting the major players of this. There is an art museum. I hope the artist, the great Disney contributor, whose name I'm looking up, whose art has been on display, I'm hoping I can show you these. He was also, interestingly enough, on display in the Guillermo del Toro exhibit.
That right?
Avind Earl is his name,
right.
And his stuff is super cool. So we'll be seeing that. There is a great mausoleum in the style of a European castle, one wing of which is no longer available to the public because it's where Michael Jackson alone is buried.
Good Lord.
I'm dying
to see. I've never
been here.
They
did not give Michael Jackson a view of Babyland. Thank God.
That's creepy.
So we'll head on over there. And we'll regale people with the fun that can be had. And again, this is a place where he wanted it to. He put the park in Memorial Park. He wanted artists and lovers to come. I'll let people at home decide which we are. He wanted them to come there to feel inspired and to enjoy themselves. There's a labyrinth for going and ruminating and meditating on questions that you need an answer to. So much stuff.
Let's go check it out.
Let's go check it out.
Hi, Phil.
So here it is, Forest Lawn Memorial Park.
Look at that.
We are about to enter through the main gate as seen in The Lady Killers.
Oh.
We stole, am I allowed to say that? We stole shots for the movie.
Yeah, you can say that.
Outside Forest Lawn Glendale, and inside another Forest Lawn.
Not Glendale. Right. Yeah. Wow, look at that gate. How have I never been here? This is weird. Look at all this.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So here's a sign. I'm trying to pull over so that...
you can read it.
Yeah, people can read it.
There's the Last Supper window, the Memorial Court of Honor, the Hall of Crucifixion Resurrection, We Kirko the Heather.
That's a recreation of a Scottish church. Kirk meaning church, Heather meaning woods.
Right.
Little church in the woods.
Church of the Recessional Museum, the Great Mausoleum, and the Court of Freedom. And then Little Church of the Flowers is to the right.
So, time is a little bit of the essence. So let's hit the big things first, and we'll drive.
Hit the highlights and come on down.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a lot of real estate, isn't it?
And you see how, like, there's no upright gravestones.
They're all plaques in the ground.
So should we do Wee Kirk of the Heather first? This is where Reagan was married.
I thought Reagan got married at the little brown church in the valley.
Not Wee Kirk of the Heather. He was married twice, Dean Haglund.
Oh, right. Good point. So who got married here? It wasn't Nancy.
I think this would have been... Well, they were both Nancy. Oh, no, Jane Wyman,
Jane Wyman. I think Jane Wyman got married here.
So, we'll get out and maybe just take a peek if you want to.
Yeah.
See, that's...
That looks like...
Right,
I feel like I'm in Ireland.
Or Scotland.
Or Scotland. I don't feel like I'm in Scotland, really.
So, entrance. You are invited to visit the Wee Kirk o' the Heather, except during services.
Which is when?
Yeah, but I mean, I would think they would want people attending services. Because it's an actual church.
What, this is a...
Yeah.
You come to church here in the middle of the cemetery.
Yeah. But we're not welcome.
Except during services. Apparently. Right. I'm already confused.
So here's the story of the Wee Kirk of the Heather.
Oh my God, that's a long story.
Picturesque little church takes us back to the night when Douglas of... Anybody?
England?
Ferglund?
Ferglund?
Ferglard?
Ferglard.
Stood beneath Anne Laurie's window and sang to her the romantic love song, which has since been sung and loved the world over.
Oh.
So see, it's a little love chapel.
Let's go in. The reconstruction.
It's a reconstruction of Anne Laurie's church in Glencairn, Scotland, which was destroyed in 1805.
Right.
Which,
built in 1310, though.
But which does beg the question, how can anyone know that it's a recreation?
And it's completely locked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've also found, is you're welcome to come in any time except during services, and yet we keep it locked all the time. There's a little garden has been reserved for those of you who desire to draw apart and rest a while in silent meditation and prayer.
Wow.
So, Dean, you help yourself.
Right. I'm going to do the vestry walk, actually. Look it. So this looks right out of, like, the silent movies.
This is God's garden.
Oh, look at that.
There's
the marble bust of Jesus with his hands spread wide.
The Christus.
Oh, yeah. By Thorvaldsen.
Thorvaldsen, 1770 to 1844.
He's a sculptor.
Yeah.
Look at, you can see in there. How cute is that place?
And as Dean spray paints his name on the side of the church.
Nick's name.
Now.
Oh.
Which of these restroom signs is authentic to the 1310 church in Glencairn?
Gotta think the rusty one.
Yeah, not the neon one that lights up? No.
No, but look at that. Wow. I bet if you're here at night, it's scary. Would they close it?
Yeah, but I think if you're here alone during the day, it's scary.
I'm frightened as I speak. Listen to the acoustics in this scary hole. Are you terrified?
I think this is maybe where they leave
the body.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, when in Forest Lawn, make sure to visit the Wee Kirk of the Heather.
You'll feel like you're in Scotland, 1310.
It's cold enough.
Yeah.
To be Scotland, 1310 right now.
Where is that joining chair?
The joining chair, that thing over there? Is that where you get married on those two chairs?
Yeah, you're supposed to put your arms through these, like, rings or something.
Oh. Is this similar to the Ears Rock, where you sit on that rug and get married?
That was Lily Holloman.
Asking us a question.
Occasionally, Lily Holloman will pop in with a question.
A good one,
too. He really wanted people to get married at this chapel. He wanted it to be not about death.
That's good to know.
That is good.
Yeah, please let us know. Apparently you have information. Okay, so off to the Great Mausoleum.
Let's go.
So this is the Great Mausoleum, and it really looks like a castle.
Yeah, with stained glass.
And I'm sure we'll read about the origins of this. Photography is prohibited inside all the mausoleums.
Right.
But this right here... We're approaching a place where, I don't know, the castle juts out. There's several stained glass windows, and it's in there where Michael Jackson is buried.
Ooh.
Is interred? Is that the...
Interred.
And we'll be going into the
other parts.
Memorial Terrace entrance of the mausoleum in just a few moments, where we will see the presentation and learn about the presentation of the Last Supper
depicted in stained glass, a recreation of the Da Vinci painting in stained glass.
Ow.
But before that, we'll avail ourselves of the Builder's Creed.
I'm frightened.
All right, so you want to record?
I think we've been recording the whole time.
Oh, this is terrific. So, yeah, this is where Jean Herschelt, most remembered today for the namesake of the Herschelt Humanitarian Award at the Oscars. He was an actor, a cultural leader, and a humanitarian. And look at this interment, a sculpture of a boy
riding a goat with a dead pigeon in his hand.
An upside-down dead pigeon. We hope it's dead.
Might be a dead dove.
Might be a dead dove.
Or is he hitting the goat with the dove as he's riding the back and pulling its tail? Somebody know the...
So he was Danish by birth, American by adoption, citizen of the world, and through his love for all mankind, he was famed as an actor, best known as kindly Dr. Christian, writer and translator of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales.
Wow. That's where he made all his money.
And so the entire family appears to be entombed within this sculpture.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out. I'm shocked. How did I go 10 years in this town not seeing this? It's embarrassing. Okay.
So this is the Builder's Dream. This is the Builder's Creed. So ends the creed as signed by the Builder.
Of course.
So he refers to himself within his creed in third person.
Wow.
I believe in a happy eternal life. I believe those. It reminds me of that Steve Martin routine about what I believe.
Right.
I believe robots are stealing my luggage.
But a place where artists study and sketch. I mean, and where school teachers bring happy children to see things they read of in books. I mean, really, do you come to a cemetery to do all that?
That's what he dreamed. And apparently, at times, this was very popular. I mean, they would literally have attractions here. Live attractions that people would come.
But not like a roller coaster.
Not like roller coaster. Do you remember, Lil, what some of the attractions were that they would have here?
It was like all the artistic attractions. The recreations of famous Michelangelo.
But there would be live events that were recreations of things.
But it looks like Carrara marble. It looks like...
And it's like we're at a Guillermo del Toro.
Yes, with the wasp crawling
with
the
giant mechanical wasp crawling.
It's not mechanical.
I mean, there's nothing like going into a creepy mausoleum and seeing a gigantic insect to call to mind Guillermo del Toro.
That is true.
Who owns, as I told you on the way here...
I know. Phantom of the Paradise
Alan
mask.
Alan Swan's mask. Phantom of the Paradise. Okay.
That bugs me now. That really bugs me.
Michael Jackson is finally going to be laid to rest in a private burial service tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern at the Great Mausoleum at Forest Lawn Glendale Memorial Park. Very few details coming out, but I can tell you that Gladys Knight will be performing during that service. The media won't be allowed inside. We'll actually be outside the main gate, which I'm told is the largest wrought iron gate in the world. A production crew will be inside taking video of arrivals. We'll have some of that for you. We won't have any aerials because it's a no-fly zone overhead. Regarding the mausoleum, it has 20-foot archways, lots of marble. It's 11 levels, plenty of mazes inside as well. Jackson's crypt is supposed to be directly under a massive stained glass window called the Last Supper window. There are pictures of it on Forest Lawn's website. And the Last Supper window is actually a recreation of Leonardo da Vinci's masterpiece. It's really something to see. And it's interesting because Michael Jackson had actually reportedly commissioned his own Last Supper painting, which he hung over his bed at Neverland Ranch. Now, most of the mausoleum requires a pass key to get around. There's very tight security there.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. So Carol Lombard and Clark Gable are both buried here in the Sanctuary of Trust.
No.
Yeah. And any good screen romance is based on trust.
Right.
The angel that we pass.
Yes.
Right. Is a actual tomb.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Who's in there?
Well, now, see, aren't you interested?
I was interested before.
So this statue of this angel, wings outspread, in memoriam.
Yeah, right? Who's in there?
This is the final resting place of Elizabeth Taylor.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And somebody left a rose.
Isn't that lovely?
Isn't that lovely?
So we're going to go on to the corridor of the poets, right?
Right.
But you see some of these really impressive. But here in, I'm forgetting what this is called. I'll find it. But you'll see Red Skelton here.
Oh, yeah.
Breakfast Club member Red Skelton.
And that's Sid Grumman from the Chinese
and
Theater.
And Sid Grumman of the Chinese Theater.
Club.
Yeah, there's so many. Pantages is around here. And this, I was holding out the map so that Lily would read aloud where we were, but...
the Sanctuary of the Benediction.
Yes, this is the Sanctuary of the Benediction. Very good.
As it says in the
book. Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
But look at the stained glass down there.
This place.
Each little section looks like a different type of cathedral.
I know, right? Each ceiling has a different...
Yeah. So this, like, this is Gothic architecture here.
Totally, with the arches.
Mm-hmm.
It's closed off.
Wow. Now you've unchained it.
So we are unchaining. Sounds like we're being haunted.
Totally haunted.
But we're unchaining to go down into the mausoleum.
With the Masonic symbol in the stained glass.
So that we can visit the Poets Corridor. We're passing the Dahlia Corridor. And here's the Poets' Corridor with what great moments in poetry history rendered in stained glass.
With the sun actually hitting at the perfect time.
Wow, it really is. Which is great, great listening for an audio-only podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Sure glad you can hear how great the sun is.
This whole thing, I mean... I long for the days when we visited Disneyland and you were ruining families' vacations.
They should come here. This is way better than Disneyland. So each poem is written on the side there. But we're not going to read them all. There's Longfellow. But look at the eyes of them.
I wouldn't... we are being watched right now, by the way, with all these cameras.
Oh, right.
Isn't that interesting? So a lot of Tennyson and Longfellow.
Yes, exactly.
Tennyson and Longfellow was quite enjoyed by... The Builder.
The Builder.
Did you learn things about the Last Supper that you did not know?
Some things.
Did you learn things that are not true that you did not know?
Well, it depends on what book you read about the Last Supper. There's many a theory. Wow. There's a lot of dead people in here. You know how many dead people are in here? All of them.
Here's an anonymous poem. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take.
Is that anonymous?
Yeah, that's anonymous.
That's why everybody can say it and not paying royalties.
Yeah, it's license free.
Yes, exactly.
So many of these poems they feature are poems that just disturb me to the core.
I know.
Like this one, now I lay me down to sleep.
I know. If I should die before I wake, what a thing to go to bed with.
I know.
Wait, am I going to die while I'm sleeping?
Well, that would be the way you would want to.
I guess.
That's the way you'd want to go. I mean, I want to go recording a podcast in a mausoleum.
Well.
When a creepy old man with a flying silver ball that punctures skulls. Oh, this is great.
Wow.
Old sweetheart of mine. And this is a man, sitting in an easy chair, kind of a cloudy sky outside, and coming out of his pipe is the smoky visage of his old sweetheart.
Good Lord.
And to dream the old dreams over is a luxury divine when my truant fancy wanders with that old sweetheart of mine.
Ooh, he's high as a kite.
So, you know, we've been making a little bit of fun of Dr. Eaton, who is referred to as Dr. Eaton when not referring to himself as the Builder, and
the
yet
builder.
he has no doctorate, as far as we know.
Oh.
Like how he was listed in there as scientist and all that. There's no, I don't think there's any actual scientific discovery that was ever done.
He likes science.
He didn't really understand science, but he knew what he liked.
Exactly.
But for all the like joking aside and the hubris, right? And you'll see more of that
coming up
when there's the big painting, the Jan Strika painting, you know, and they show the people responsible for the painting, and it starts with Jan Strika, of course. Right. He painted it, and then they show someone else. He restored it.
Oh, no.
And he brought it to the world. Like, the most important step was Eaton's step.
So, like, putting it up on a wall.
But again, for all that, we read a little bit of the Creed. Kind of mission accomplished, because here we are walking around wanting to be sort of cynical, but we're having fun. We're fascinated by what we're seeing, and it's endlessly revealing of itself, because there's so much to see. And the eye can only take in so many things. I notice new things every time. And you were saying that you wish you had come here and actually sketched and painted.
I know. I mean, you got these open vistas, and you can actually see neighborhoods down the hill. This looks like it would be lovely to hang out.
Well, like you said, look, there's a view of Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, look at that.
You had a view of downtown.
Oh, my God.
You have a view to Glendale of the other side. When we're at
the top
General of the
Hospital.
Hill, you'll be struck.
Struck. Dumbstruck.
So we're approaching something on the right that has something to do with Napoleonic history. Isn't that right, Lil?
Is that right?
Yes. I don't remember.
Let us get a word in edgewise, please, Lil.
And there's a garbage bin of...
So look at how the garbage...
Oh, yeah, it's a tree.
Disney
stump.
Gets this from Forest Lawn. The waste receptacles are designed to look like tree trunks so that if you're not looking closely, it just blends in. Like doesn't that one totally blend in?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So he was doing that long before Disney was.
We'll take a little bit of a...
This was built in 1910?
Well, 1907, this was started.
Oh, yeah.
Eaton comes in 1912.
Right.
And that's why you will find a few down below... You'll find a few upright gravestones, but they're all down below. And then as it expanded up to the hillside...
He made sure.
He made sure.
This is Gabulansi, the statue.
Oh, we are. Okay. Look at this statue right here.
Oh, God.
And someone has draped beaded necklaces.
New Orleans beads.
New Orleans beads around the baby. And the baby has jazz hands.
Jazz hands. And smiling upwards to the sky, I would say. But, yeah.
So it's all for babies who died.
Yeah, look at that.
And they're all surrounded by each other. And you see how it is heart-shaped.
Yeah. That's not weird. It is heart-shaped. Look at this.
I mean, okay, so I guess that could be a comforting thought, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He really strove to take the doom and gloom out of death.
Yeah.
Which just kind of serves to make it a little bit more creepy.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's like,
but I appreciate the effort.
But is it whistling in the dark, tap dancing in the deck of the Titanic? Is he in denial of his own demise by making it all so lovely and cheery?
Well, I mean, we're talking about him.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I don't think he's in complete denial. I think the denial served to a certain extent.
Well, he certainly went to great lengths to...
Well, the question would also be, what is he denying? I mean, is he denying truly death and its import, or is he denying...
The creepy macabre.
How people were... entertaining it at the time.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
He's jogging.
Here's somebody who, like, I don't know, a retired SWAT captain.
Totally.
Jogging up the hill at a sprint.
Yeah.
So fast I can't read whatever he's advertising on the back of his t-shirt.
So, so florid, so he's sucking in monoxide poisoning.
Oh, Lord.
So he wants to make it more a celebration of life.
Hooray.
And eternal life.
Right.
And... different spin on it.
Well, the mausoleum really fit the bill because it didn't deny anything, I felt.
Right.
While at the same time, it was an enjoyable place to come in and meditate and ruminate and enjoy the art. And
I'd say it is very peaceful here, I'll give you that.
So here we are in the Court of Freedom, and we're going to be seeing some biggies.
Some biggies, some big names.
I mean, this would be the, seriously, the maps, the stars of the Hollywood, you know, the maps of the Hollywood star homes. Yeah. Forget about that. You want the map here.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's the signing of the Independence Constitution.
This is the Freedom Mausoleum right in here. And this is for people who were not only patriotic, but were patriotically involved. Bob Hope, for example, is interred in the Freedom Mausoleum.
I did not know that.
Yes. So why don't we get out and I'll show you some.
Go see Bob.
Oh, there's some very interesting historic relics here. Not just the people. So look at this. There's a tribute to Washington at Valley Forge.
Wow.
And part of this gigantic sculpture and display arch links from the Liberty Chain.
It's the Liberty Chain.
It's part of the chain stretched across the Hudson River in 1776 to prevent the passage of British ships, which could cut the colonies in two. And see, this is what I mean about how Eaton would bring exhibits. He would bring attractions. Hey, you know, what school kids,
right?
When we were reading about him wanting school kids to come, well, you study history. You study, you know, patriotic American Revolutionary War history, and its kids were going to go see part of the Liberty Chain. So is it real? Who knows? Yeah, there's a real P.T. Barnum quality about Hubert Eaton.
I mean, it's real. It's a big...
I don't think it's real.
But if you believe it's real, it's real.
You don't think it's from the actual Hudson River?
I think we're told that it was...
Seems like a good idea, but this is the first I've heard of it. And, you know, kind of up on some revolutionary history.
But
I think.
Like the I like the story.
Yeah.
It's a story that brings to mind this true thing that happened in history, so why not?
Why not? Yeah, it could happen.
Who else is talking about that time?
Yeah, what do you know?
So, Spencer Tracy.
Ah, look at that.
Now, we were talking about this. There's a family named Couturier here.
Yeah.
And did we find out that that is from where we get the name?
Couturier?
Couture? I think so.
Disney's, one of his inspirations for building Disneyland was his love of the train, of building his own train.
Right.
Which pre-existed at the Disney Barn, which now is in Griffith Park. And how sad he would be, I think, to know that the Disneyland train does not operate anymore. They had to shut it down to build Star Wars Land.
Ow.
But here's a sign you would read often at Disneyland. Our apologies for the inconvenience as we renovate this area. And what is it outside of? Disney's grave.
Maybe somebody, it looks like somebody just died in the Disney family.
Sure does.
There's a hole there.
There's a hole.
Bury somebody.
Who just died in the
They may
Disney
have
family.
Just taken a tree out. I like to think that they should yeah. But this is so
they
different.
Exhumed a body.
We were here just a couple months ago, and this whole area looks so different. Because, yeah, they exhumed a tree or something over there. And anyway, you see the little child. You can see some paper there.
Yeah.
People will leave messages for Walter Elias Disney. Look, someone put the little Mickey Mouse up on top of his...
I want to be cremated. Or I want to do that water. Do you see that one? 4 hours of jiggly water and you just body liquefies and then all your fillings fall to the bottom and they just recycle that.
I'm having that happen right now.
With the bumpy road?
And having to go to the bathroom. Do you know my favorite Woody Allen line, right? About how he doesn't want to become immortal through his work.
Right.
He wants to become immortal through not dying.
Right.
Yeah, see,
You're not going
to
die.
Everybody who asks, what do you want to have happen to you? Nothing. Indeed, nothing.
Oh, look at that. There's David.
And if there is dying to be done, Dean Haglund,
yeah.
I'm going last. As with MySpace, I'm turning off the lights on the way out.
Now, is this a life size?
This is
a replica, or is it bigger than?
We're going to go check out the recreation of David.
Right, Michelangelo's David.
So, Lil, why don't you take over about the recreation of David? The first thing is, so is this to scale?
I think it is, isn't it?
It looks to scale.
All right. And,
because what I know about this was that it was a single piece of marble without any fault lines in it. And then some sculptor screwed it up and put a big gouge in it. And then for the next 30 years, it just sat waiting for an artist to figure out how to get around the gouge. And everybody said, oh, just cut it in half and you'll have 2 8-foot marbles. And they go, no, we want the full 16-foot.
Well,
and it wasn't until Michelangelo said, well, just send your guy off of balance and put the elbow up.
Well, all I know is he had a terrific pedicure. But but talk about the contrapposto nature of this, Lily, and just like the original, this recreation has a flaw very much in common with it.
So this... am I right? Was one of the first examples of contrapposto.
Yeah, because he had to set up balance.
Was back in the Grecian times, all of the statues of people were erect and their 2 feet were firmly on the ground.
Right.
And Michelangelo created this term called contrapposto, where the subject is leaning all his weight onto one leg.
Right. In a way to get around the gouge that was in the original marble.
Which then became an art historic term and a much more naturalistic way to depict people,
right,
sculptures. Now, this particular David has the same problem that the David has in Florence, which is during an earthquake, because the weight is distributed on this
right foot,
narrow leg, it has cracked.
Oh, yeah, look at that. But now, this isn't pure marble, is it? This is concrete.
I don't know. It feels like marble to me.
Yeah.
It sure does. And I even see chisel marks in there.
Yeah, I think it's marble. Wow. I think he wanted to be legit with all this stuff.
So then how do you... Well, that's the thing. The marble has to have... It looks like it had a fault line in it. And if it's got faults, then it's going to crack on those faults.
Let's go in and you get ready to take a photo of Dean and myself. We're going into the Garden of the Mystery of Life.
Oh, my gosh. I often go into that.
The garden. I love a phrase. I love a title with multiple ofs.
Yeah.
This is the Garden of the Mystery of Life of Dean and Phil.
Wow.
Of your Chilpack Hollywood.
It's so mysterious.
So that, it is so named because of the recreation of the sculpture, The Mystery of Life.
Yeah.
This is actually an original sculpture. It's not a recreation. This is original to the theme park.
Oh.
To the theme park.
So somebody commissioned this?
Cemetery.
Somebody did a theme park. The theme park of death. So somebody commissioned this?
Yes.
Mr. Eaton.
The builder.
The builder.
So this is the Mystery of Life. Gentle visitor during the years that the Mystery of Life group was being carved. The sculptor and I discussed many interpretations, but the one I like best is found in the words of Victor Herbert's immortal song, Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life, and the lyrics then follow. I like the above interpretation the best of all because it typifies the spirit of Forest Lawn, and it's signed The Builder.
Wow.
And there's an explanation of all the figures here. There's, 18 figures?
Yeah, look at that.
Of a variety of ages and genders, and they're drinking at the
and the controversial breastfeeding. What the hell?
The waters of the Mystery of Life flowing.
Love
there's
kissing.
Doves kissing, right?
Oh, yeah, doves kissing too.
Turtle.
Right?
And then off to the right here is actually my favorite thing I have seen thus far.
Okay.
In the Forest Lawn Memorial Park, Glendale. And it's what looks like just an old double door here.
Right.
And it leads into something called the Gardens of Memory.
Uh-oh. I forgot.
Right? And it says, and it recreates the work by Nancy Bird Turner, death is only an old door set in a garden wall. On gentle hinges it gives at dusk when the thrushes call.
I think it's private. The people who are... Dean is trying to get into a private family's...
Well, it's on the gentle hinges. It's dusk and...
We are not dead. The point is, it's not our time, Dean. Thank God it didn't open. Death is an old door set in a garden wall. This is a garden wall. This is an old door.
Jeez, that's nuts.
There is nothing... There is nothing to trouble any heart. Nothing to hurt at all. Death is only a quiet door in an old wall. Okay. So I see this, and I go visit my goddaughter's house for the first time in a little while.
Yep.
And what do they have up in their garden out in front? They've got just an old door set up in their garden.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, I have not gone anywhere near that door.
That's death.
Now, that leads to a Gardens of Memory, and then there's a Gardens of Memory over to the other side. You won't be trying the door.
Why?
But we will, very surreptitiously,
ring the doorbell.
Sneak through some bushes and climb up onto a wall so that we can see something very, very cool.
What? Oh my God, what kind of... How am I going to get through here? We're crawling through bushes now. This is the most we've ever done for Chilpack Hollywood Hour. Look here.
Okay, this very picture is near the David. Here, pose.
Oh, low battery. That's a problem.
What? I put two brand new batteries in.
Same low battery. Okay, so the one plan for Chilpack Hollywood Hour...
was to record the presentation, the audio portion of this presentation for the Jan Strika painting, The Crucifixion. It is, it's hard to explain, but it's the largest painting, I believe. It is the size of a gigantic old-school IMAX screen, when IMAX was only at amusement parks, showing To Fly.
Right.
And it combines an IMAX presentation-style viewing of a painting with, before that, the ritual of appearing before the U.S. Supreme Court, and coupled with a Broadway musical dinner theater show aboard a really bad cruise ship.
Wow. And it only happens Tuesday through Sunday.
Tuesday through Sunday. We picked the one day, a Monday, when it's closed, as is the art museum here at the top of the hill overlooking Glendale, which has
view.
An exhibit of Irvind Earle, the Disney legend, who designed Sleeping Beauty, designed so much. And the art, look at the art that he designed. You can just see in the poster.
Oh, look at that.
It's terrific, terrific stuff. And Dean, you won't get to see it.
Because I'm going on a plane.
Because you no longer live here in L.A.
Why did I not come here all the time? How did nobody tell me about this place?
I know. All right, so, well, pissed. Like with any wonderful tourist trip somewhere, you have to leave wanting more.
That's right. And the whole point, well, there you go.
Yeah, well, you'll come back here, right?
Yes, of course. I'm coming back for my art show in July, so perhaps this is a fantastic time to plan now to come here on a Tuesday through a Sunday.
Yeah, well, you don't have to do all of those.
No,
pick one. Pick one.
I'm now going to camp here Tuesday through Sunday, see this bloody painting.
It is a bloody painting. I mean, because it's the crucifixion. But it's enormous, and it also shows the resurrection as well. And it is an amazing, amazing work.
Okay.
And just the effort that went into the presentation is extraordinary.
Well, this is now the thing I'm going to see. Can't wait to see it.
All right. Okay. In July, then.
July it is.
Listeners should come and join us. If you're going to be in the L.A. area, come and see the crucifixion and the resurrection with us.
At Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale, California. What could be better? I think that's all the space we have on this little wee flash drive.
Okay. Right. Little wee flash drive of the heather.
Wee flash drive of the heather.
Guests of your Chilpack Hollywood Hour stay at the Baldwin Hills Motor Inn. Promotional consideration paid for by Empire State Gas. From farm to pump, we've got great gas.
Sun and I belated spoiler alert.